Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. Today we're going to explore what Jesus was teaching his disciples when he said to them, "I am the true vine." This was his seventh I am statement, which he spoke on the night before he died. But first, the Old Testament reading for today, taken from Genesis 22, is about God commanding Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Most of us are now thinking to ourselves, "Whoa, that's a step too far." But as the story continues, we find that God never intended Abraham to carry it out, just to test his obedience. For just at the crucial moment, as Abraham's knife is raised, God stops him and points to a ram caught up in the thicket that he must use as a sacrifice in his son's place. This is also a symbolic story, for in years to come, God's own son Jesus would willingly lay down his life to become a lamb for the sacrifice, an offering, a sin offering for the world. This song of mine called Abraham and Isaac tries to express Abraham's sorrow and relief, and it's set to a local Geordie song, "Dance to Your Daddy." Free to download on www.sheilahamill.co.uk, along with 47 more Old Testament stories in song. Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. "Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me." Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing, lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham looked grim. "Come to your daddy, my little laddie, don't think badly of me, I've a job to do." Put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him. Then he heard a voice, "Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him. Now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son." Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead. As a reward for his obedience, God blessed Abraham, telling him that one day his descendants would bless the whole earth. As the years went by, Abraham's descendants became a great nation, spreading out and multiplying. In Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5, they're compared to a vine, but they repeatedly turn away from God and disobey him. They were unfaithful and didn't bear fruit as God intended, but the prophet spoke of one descendant who would. On the night before Jesus died, this is what Jesus told his disciples. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, apart from me you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
I am the vine. The Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. Remain in me. Ask what you will, and it will be given. You shall bear fruit and be my disciples. I have told you this, that your joy be complete.
That was a song called I Am the Vine from the album Called to Serve. So the Father is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Then what flows through the branches bringing nourishment to the fruit is most likely the Spirit of God. I suppose the healthier the vine, the greater the flow, and the more mature the fruit will be. The more God's Spirit fills God's people through their obedience, the more effective their witness and their outreach, as long as they remain part of the vine. I understood this passage of scripture better when we visited Hampton Court a while ago and saw a vine called the Great Vine housed there. It's the oldest and longest grapevine in the world, planted in 1768 by Capability Brown. It began its life as a small cutting and was planted outside a glasshouse, and its branches were trained inside it. By the 1790s, the vine was thriving so much and growing to such an enormous size that the glasshouse had to be enlarged to house it. It produces a phenomenal amount of fruit each year after its annual pruning and cleaning. It takes the vinekeeper around 3 weeks to remove all the grapes. Isn't it amazing that from such small beginnings, what abundance of fruit can be achieved over the years? In this next song, the believer asks to be a channel of God's divine peace flowing out to others. It's taken from a personal prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and it's called Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, sung here by Daniel O'Donnell.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair, despair in life, let me bring home. Where there is darkness, only light, and where there's sadness, ever joy. Consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It isn't pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. To love with all my soul, make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Make me a channel of your peace.
It's interesting that Jesus said that the fruitful branches would have to be pruned in order for the vine to remain healthy and bear even more fruit. Everything which hindered the growth of the branch had to be removed, a tendril here, some alien growth there, or a shoot removed to make room for a stronger one to survive. A tendril will spiral out and cling to whatever's at hand to steady the plant and support it. And sometimes we become distracted by other attractions and fall away. We've got to make sure we cling onto God's word and live by it. Healthy branches need to be trimmed and cleaned up from any alien growth, just as there's a need for us to confess the wrong we do and receive forgiveness. Pruning may prove to be a painful process for us, but it's absolutely necessary for better growth. Often when we try our best to follow a godly path, we find ourselves sorely tested. But if we can stay connected to God through prayer, Bible reading, and loving obedience, we will eventually come to bear fruit that will last by our faith. As long as we remain part of the vine, there will be steady growth, even when we face storms and the darkness closes in. How many times have we heard this next song, sung at football matches? It's an uplifting song called You'll Never Walk Alone from the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel. This version is sung by a Norwegian soprano with an incredible voice. Her name is Sissel Sersebo, and here she is accompanied by thunderstorm and lightning.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky.
Jesus also says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Cut off from the source of the true vine, cut off from God's word, cut off from fellowship with other believers by our own choice, we may shrivel and grow cold, rather like a cinder removed from a fire which becomes dead and lifeless, until put back again. Some think that the withered branch referred to Judas, who betrayed Jesus, or even to those who are only paying lip service to their faith, or who've fallen away from faith. And there are some who suggest that the withered branch referred to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, when the city was destroyed and the people killed or taken into slavery. Who knows? The dead, dry wood of a vine is not fit for any other purpose. No longer can life flow through it. It has lost touch with its source. All this reminds me of two stretches of water, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Both are fed by the same river, the Jordan, which flows into the Sea of Galilee and then out again. The waters of Galilee teem with life, and the surrounding area is very fertile. But then the Jordan flows on towards the Dead Sea, which is below sea level, and there it comes to a dead end. Consequently, there is no life in its waters. It's full of salt and minerals, and all around it is desert land, all because there is no outlet for the water. When living waters flow, they bring life by flowing on and bringing life elsewhere. May we too learn to give out as we journey through life. Here's a favourite hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, with words by W. Williams and music by John Hughes. So how can we tell if we're on the right track, that we are fruitful branches, part of God's plan? In Matthew 7, we hear the words of Jesus, "By their fruit you will know them." So I'm just putting on for you a parable of the tree and its fruit from my album, The Pearls of Great Price. You might enjoy this one.
Beware of false prophets like sheep, they're disguised. Beneath they are wolves, so open your eyes. By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on their thorns. A sound tree gives good fruit, a poor one what's bad? Bad trees can't bear good fruit, now isn't that sad? By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on the thorns. Each tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and destined for fire right there on the ground. So come heed this warning in case you're inspired to do what is evil and wrong in God's eyes.
You know, it's amazing how much fruit one healthy branch can produce, and it's amazing what one committed person can achieve. If we want to be more effective in our faith and in our witness and bear fruit that will last, we must remain in Christ and stand firm in his word, putting love into action. As this final song says, he commands our destiny. And until he returns or calls me home, here I will remain, for in the power of Christ I stand. So here's our last hymn, In Christ Alone, sung here by Stuart Townend. Do have a good week. Bye for now.
Christ alone, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of love.